The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Welcome to this week's General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Let me tell you, we say this pretty much every show, but this one is definitely an all-killer, no-filler episode. Pretty much every single segment, we have a guest, four blockbuster guests, one of them taking up the entire hour number two, three guests taking up the whole hour number one. Let me tell you, we are bringing it, I mean absolutely bringing it, on this week's Down and Dirty Radio Show. This is why you listen to us. It's for the guests, and we are delivering today. Kicking things off in hour number one, we have Super Cross rookie and a guy that is on a mission coming off of Atlanta and a couple of podiums there, Chase Sexton, on the show. Then following Chase Sexton, we got another Supercross rider. We got a guy that's been around the block for a while, always up front, Mr. Dean Wilson, on the show. Then to cap off hour number one, we're flipping it over to my girl Kristen Matlock, one of the baddest women on the planet, coming off a massive win in her Razor at the San Felipe 250. We got Ms. Matlock. She's going to be talking about the Dakar rally she went and did, and obviously the big win in Score last weekend. Then shifting gears into hour number two, we've got a world record holder, an absolute legend, one of the greatest snowmobile riders of all time, Mr. Levi Lavallee, taking up the entire hour number two. Let me tell you, when we say we've got guests, we've got them this week right here on the show. So you definitely don't want to go anywhere. If you love what you hear, if you're new to the show, you're tuning in on SiriusXM, welcome. All of our troops tuning in on the American Forces Network, thank you for what you do for our country. Thank you for listening to the show. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Sports Byline, wherever you're listening to us, thank you. Please, when you get a chance, head over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button to the show, and you can give me a follow at JimBeaver15 on social media. I do have a few small segments. I will be taking fan questions. So once again, it's at JimBeaver15. If you do have a fan question, we will try and get it into this week's show. And, I don't know. Too many fan questions, and we're not going to be able to fit them all in because it is all killer, no filler, right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hang tight. Go and grab a cold one. Come back, because let me tell you, it's going to be 2 hours of nonstop fun right here on the show. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a fistful of bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome one of my guests this week to the show, a guy who is probably feeling pretty comfortable about now, Chase Sexton. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
So, I guess let's talk a little bit. I mean, obviously, we got to talk about Atlanta. You got to be feeling pretty good heading into these last two rounds in Salt Lake City after the performance in Atlanta, man. That's I feel like it was it's been a long time coming, but you got to be pretty stoked.
Yeah, you kind of nailed that one. It's been a little bit of a up and down year. I started off pretty good. Obviously, I was leading my second race in the 450 class, being a rookie this year, and ended up going down, which put me out for probably, I think, six races, I think. And then I came back, and it was kind of a rough go a little bit. I got a few top fives, and then going into Atlanta, I felt pretty good on the bike and felt like I had what it takes to be on the podium, and came out and got two podiums in a row, won the heat race at the last race. And then I didn't have the best main event, but overall it was a really good trip to Atlanta, and starting to really feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to on the bike and getting the good starts and putting myself in the right positions and just kind of riding like how I used to ride on the 250. It's been the key.
Yeah. Do you like, you know, Atlanta's kind of had the outdoor feel, you know, and obviously Daytona's kind of that way. You had a couple good results at Atlanta. I mean, obviously, you know, you took your very first ever 450 win in the outdoors. Do you feel like these tracks that, like Atlanta, Daytona, they kind of cater to your riding style a little bit more, or, that they have that outdoors feel?
I would say so. Yeah. But overall, I really do like Supercross. I like the normal tracks. For some reason, I just think Atlanta, the dirt, and just me getting good starts kind of just put me in the right positions to do what I was capable of. And I wouldn't say it was more the track. I did like that we had more room. The obstacles were a little bit bigger and just made for better racing, I felt like. So that really I gelled well with. But overall, I mean, I really do love Supercross, and I feel like I was really good at it on the 250D. And now going into the big bike, it's been a little bit of a learning curve just trying to find where to use the power at on those shorter tracks and trying to just find better lines when it gets into that 10 minutes into the main event. So just been a learning experience, but overall I feel like I've been learning more and more and taking everything I can from every weekend.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of my leads into my next question. I mean, you know, obviously, you know what it takes to win a Supercross title. You've done it, you know, on the 250s, move up into the 450 division last year for outdoors. But, I mean, a lot of people, outsiders looking in, they look at it and go, oh, it's just like the same bike with more power. Well, you and I both know that's a big difference. I mean, what's been the biggest transition from you going from the 250 to the 450?
Yeah, like you said, it's a lot more power. It's really not that much heavier, honestly. I think we had a new Honda this year, 450. It was a new chassis and everything, and it was a lot lighter than last year. So honestly, it wasn't too much. I think it was like 8 pounds heavier than my 250, which is a little bit, but overall, just the torque of the 450 and the power they have, it can bite you when you're not paying attention. And that's kind of what I figured out, throughout the first, half the season. So, that and just the main events are 5 minutes longer, obviously, and being the last race of the day, it's the track's pretty torn up, and trying to find new lines halfway through the main event has been my biggest struggle, and that's what I feel like the top guys excel at really well. So that's kind of what I've been focusing on, and just trying to just find those better lines, and that ultimately is what wins races. So
yeah, you think last year, and obviously we'll talk about this season a little bit because I know you missed a chunk in the middle of the year, but do you think last year the move up into the 450 division kind of mid-season between Supercross and outdoors, do you think that helped you this year in Supercross? A lot of guys wrap up a year and then they make the transition. You were kind of able to do it, and you feel like that experience in the outdoors on the 450 definitely helped you this year on the in Supercross on the 450 just because you did have some races under your belt on the bike?
I would definitely say so. I felt more comfortable coming to the first race. And obviously there was a lot of people that didn't race outdoors that were at the first race. So I was definitely racing some new people, and it's a very stacked class this year in the Premier division. So it's been fun learning, and I'm still learning every race. So, but I would say definitely racing outdoors, just getting comfortable, and it was just an easier transition going to outdoors, and same amount of distance in the races and same length. So I would just say it was definitely a good transition from the 250 to the 450, and like I said, I'm still learning, and I'll continue to learn until ultimately I'm winning races. So it's been fun so far, and I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, how tough is it, you know, you as a rider, you start out this year, you know, you come out of the gate, and then you're riding pretty strong, and then you go down due to injury. And you miss a chunk in the middle of the season and not coming back. And obviously you've regained your momentum after we saw it, you know, at Atlanta. And we'll talk about Salt Lake here in a minute. But, you know, how tough is that for you as a rider to, basically have the rug pulled out from under you for a chunk of the season and then come back? I mean, you know, you get into that groove in the week in, week out, roller coaster that is Supercross. And then it's like everything comes to a halt, man. How hard is it for you to fire things back up when you come back?
It's very difficult. It's not so much hard to get back racing. It's more that everyone has been in that groove and their race pace has just grown when you've been sitting on the couch. So I would say that's just the hardest part, is trying to get back to their pace. And it's hard to really, you can't really replicate racing obviously at the practice track. So just trying to get back up to race pace is what was difficult. And now I feel like I'm back to where I need to be. And it was definitely a grind trying to get back to the top or to the podium.
Yeah. So now you got a couple of podiums in Atlanta. We move into the two finales, I guess, in Salt Lake City. I mean, you've got this momentum coming out of Atlanta, man. I mean, what's it going to take to put it all together one of these next two rounds here in Salt Lake?
Yeah, definitely have some momentum on my side. And my goal this year was to get a win, at least one. So we got two rounds left. I feel comfortable, like I said, on the bike, and feel like my riding and everything's where I need it to be to win a race. And it all just has to kind of really fall into place. I think obviously a good start and putting myself in the right position and just being able to do my own laps and get some clean air. And I think that's the key. There's obviously a championship at stake with Ken and Cooper, and I obviously don't want to mess with that, but at the same time, I feel like I can really take advantage of that and just go out there and ride the best I can. So, we got two rounds. It feels like I was just here because last year I did five races here at the end of the year. So it's kind of a homecoming for all of us, and excited to be back at Rice-Eccles.
Yeah, you know, and that being said, obviously, you're coming off some momentum with in Atlanta. We got these two rounds in Salt Lake. How does that make you feel for, the rest of this year? And then looking at, Supercross next year, obviously we got outdoors and Supercross. You got to feel pretty good. I mean, with that 450 win, in the outdoors last year, now a couple of podiums in Supercross. I mean, it's got to have you really, really excited about the future.
Yeah, coming into outdoors and obviously finishing up Supercross, I feel really good. Going into outdoors, we have that season under us last year that I did the first my debut on the 450. So definitely feel more comfortable going into there, and I feel like I definitely have what it takes to be a championship contender and go out there and win races. So that's kind of where my mindset's at. And I've been riding a little bit outdoors. This week I rode one day because it rained in Florida, so I had to go ride a sand track. So that's kind of, it's been nice to be able to switch it up a little bit and kind of shift my momentum towards outdoors and try and go out there and do the best I can. So Yeah, definitely looking forward to the end of this year and this summer, and then going into next year. I feel like all my struggles this year and what I've learned, I can take and put myself in a good position next year and go out there and try and compete for a championship.
Yeah. Well, Chase, man, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Best of luck in Salt Lake the next two rounds, and hope to see you on top of the box at some point, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Man, it's great always catching up with Supercross riders. You know, we got Dean Wilson up next, a couple of bangers between Chase Sexton and Dean Wilson. I do have to give a shout-out to my boy Sean Brennan. Been a guest on this show. He's invited me out to Supercross. Was there in Texas. You know, he's also been just a phenomenal advocate of the show, always helping place riders over the past few years. I mean, you've seen some of the biggest names in Supercross drop in on this show, and there's a reason why, and that's because the PR guy over there at Supercross, Sean Brennan, helps make that happen. And I just want to give a quick shout out to him, tell him thank you for everything you've continued to do for the show. And with that, we got Dean Wilson coming up next right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at GSPXTV.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome another one of my guests this week to the show, Supercross rider Dean Wilson. Dean, welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I got to say, I have kind of closetly been a longtime Dean Wilson fan, only because my trophy truck and race number is 15 and my social handle is Jim Beaver 15. So I've always kind of been like a little bit attached and watching what Dean Wilson does, just because you always rep the 15. So I'm just putting it out there, man.
There we go. Thank you very much. It's a good number.
Yeah, it's treated me well in my career. And obviously any of us that make a living racing anything, I would say you've been a success. So I don't know. We'll just start from there and see where this interview goes, man.
Yeah, no, perfect. No, it's good. It's legends that have had it. McGrath, I think that was his first number on factory Honda, so that's kind of cool. So, yeah, and then obviously the real Red Dog. So, yeah, there's definitely some good riders that have had it.
Yeah. Here's a question, and this goes back, like, it can't feel like riders and racers, like, you know, I've had the 15, and there's no real reason behind it, but when I first kind of turned pro and had to, like, secure a number, it was kind of one that was available, and I kind of liked it, kind of, you know, out of all the ones I kind of drew to it. How did you end up with that number? It's always an interesting conversation on how people land with the number they've got.
So, as an amateur, I was always number 28. My birthday's December 28th. It was always 28. And then, then as I got older, I kind of always clashed with another kid that had 28. So I was 128. So then I was 128 pretty much my whole career, amateur career. And then I went into my first year pro, and somebody had number 128. So I had to have 108. So my rookie year, my number was 108. And then I got a national number after my rookie year from all the points that you accumulate. That's where 15 was available, but I actually wanted to go back to 28. But funny enough, at that time, my teammate Tyler Rattray at the time picked 28. So I I just chose the 15 and, stuck with it.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into talking a little bit about this season, because this has been a weird season for you. I mean, you know, you've been super consistent this year, but obviously went down with injury, and then we had like the fluke deal, like the fluke of all flukes that we got to talk about. It was like a series of unfortunate events where you didn't qualify for the main, but by and large, dude, you've been in the top 10 pretty much every single race you've been in. It's been kind of a little bit of a weird year for you. You feel that way?
Yeah, it's been tough for sure. It's definitely not one of my best years, but I came in, did the first three races. I was still in the mix and I was right there, but my starts were hurting me. And then, after that, I broke my toe and a little bone in my foot. And so I missed three races right there. And then I came back with my foot fell all jacked up. I just kept racing. And that's why, I was a bit rusty and kept going into LCQs, because I really didn't have a lot of riding time. So I kind of just raced with that injury all year, and I kind of hurt my knee as well while I was at it. And unfortunately, that was just really just a really big dampener on my season. And then, at Atlanta 1 there, it was wet. It wasn't really too much of a mud race, but in the heat race, I had a goggle malfunction and I had to go to the LCQ. So I went to the LCQ and I was third off of the start, and another rider came in to me, and man, I fell and I was just panicking. I got off, I passed I must have passed 12 guys within three corners, and then I fell again. And then that was just devastating, because then I really put myself behind. And then with the race only being like 5 minutes long, I was the qualifying position was about 3 seconds in front of me. So I was like, oh man, come on. So it was definitely tough. That was a first in my career, never making the main. So unfortunately, it was my fault for putting myself in that position, but also, if that rider just didn't make a blown head pass on me, I would have been all right.
Yeah. You know, I watched on social media after that happened, and I got to give you a lot of credit, because that's for a racer, that's a tough deal, man. That's tough. You're angry. You're pissed off. There's a bunch of reasons. And you went onto social media and you're like, I wasn't going to post on this, but you're like, you know what? I'm just going to own it. And, to me, that shows, I don't know, to me, that showed a lot about your integrity and you as a person. Like, obviously, you didn't want that to happen, but I'm just telling you, as an outsider looking in, I respect the hell out of the way you approach that, because it wasn't an easy situation. I know you're pissed off and frustrated, but you just kind of owned it on social. And man, I just honestly, you earned a ton of respect from me. And, not that you didn't have it before, but just the way you handled that, man, because, there's a lot of riders who wouldn't have taken that road that you did.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I was definitely pissed off. I was embarrassed. It's just like, I should never be in that position, but I mean, it is what it is. There's nothing I could do about it. And, I already had a bit of a rough go from the Kenny incident. So really, it's been a tough year, but I've still just kept plugging away and pushing hard, and I just want to keep trying to get better. That's all I can do, and that's always my goal, is just to keep pushing to be at the front. And I just took it like a man, and it was just another hit on the chin, because it's tough, after the social media side of things, the fans and stuff really definitely don't hold back. I guess you could put it.
Yeah, that's what you can say about the Supercross fan base, right? They're a rabid group of fans, and love them or hate them, man, they will tell you exactly what's on their mind.
They're pretty ruthless, but it's just, there's a lot of the fans are just very diehard, and then you have a bad race, they're all upset, and then you have a good race and they're all behind you again. So it's kind of just funny how it goes.
Yeah. That being said, I know obviously, you know, you went down, you had the broken toe. You said, you had the problem with your foot. I think you had like a sprained ankle in that time too. And you said, your knee kind of got messed up. How are you feeling heading into these last two rounds in Salt Lake City? I mean, is the health good? The foot, like, you feel like you've kind of overcome that? Is it still kind of lingering there? How are you feeling? How's the health, man?
Yeah, I'm feeling better for sure. The foot's gone better. It's still like sore and kind of bugs me, but it's way better than it was. But I feel good. I feel like I rode really well here last year, and I just want to finish the season off strong. You know, that would just be a big positive for me, and just to show everyone that I'm still capable of doing well, and that would be good for myself as well, just to finish off strong, and then, you know, another reset for outdoors.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that being said, let's talk a little bit about, your team here, the Rockstar Husqvarna team. A couple of years ago, they signed you, you know what I mean? And for you, I think that had to have been a big moment in your career because, you know, I know you've done some fill-in stuff here and there and you're bouncing around. But, I mean, to get signed to a team and have, you know, some stability, how's that been for your career to know, like, hey, I've got a home week in, week out, you know what I mean? And you know, it's been for a few years now. That's got to be pretty big for a rider to get that stability finally in a career.
Yeah, I mean, it's been good. This is my fifth year with the team. So after we had a little breakup, I guess you could say, after the 2018 season, and they didn't re-sign me for 2019. And I still stayed on the Husqvarna, but it's kind of funny because before the season even started, they wanted me on the team. But I already had worked so hard on my own program and got my own sponsors, and I really, you know, worked hard. I didn't want to just bail on them and go back on the team. So I raced the first four Supercrosses and almost won, you know, the first round with, you know, being a privateer. But then, you know, they re-signed me again and I was back on the team. So definitely that was, those times are always very tough. I feel like it kind of, you know, in a way, life sometimes just does that to you, just to keep you on your toes and kind of will show you how bad you want it or not. You can either just call it a day and go get a normal job, or you can really fight for what you want. And I feel like at that time, I really fought hard and I was back out to where I needed to be. You know, it's just the hard thing is with this sport is when you get injured and you're riding with an injury, but you try to keep the injury quiet because you want to have a job for next year. You want to get a contract for the next year. And if they know that you're injured, they're not going to re-sign you. So you keep racing with this injury and your results aren't what they should be. It's tough. It's really tough. And a lot of us racers go through that. So unless you have like a good 3-year deal or something, it's not too bad. But when you're racing year to year for a contract, the injuries are the toughest part, and that's why it's so important to be injury free.
Yeah. How are you feeling heading into outdoors? I mean, you know, you mentioned that a little bit ago, you know, and kind of wrapping up at Salt Lake, and how are you feeling about the outdoor season to come?
I'm excited for it. I've probably had about 2.5 weeks of outdoors, but really just kind of focusing on getting these Supercrosses done, and then we'll really focus on outdoors, and I'll go back to California and test with the team and just get a really good setup, and that's the plan. So just really want to do a lot of testing before and just get as comfortable as I can, and do the best I can.
Yeah. Well, Dean, best of luck with these two rounds coming up here in Salt Lake, man. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and hopefully we see you on the box this weekend.
No worries. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And we'll be back with Chris and Matlock up next right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP 4-1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. I'd like to welcome my good friend and Polaris RZR teammate, Miss Kristen Matlock, to the show. Kristen, I know we were just talking off air, but it's been a bit since I guess had you on the show. We've even caught up like in person. It's been a while. So stoked to have you back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I know it's been a good year, I think, with COVID involved, and just everything's been a little bit different. So good to be here for sure.
Yeah, I know last year kind of was definitely threw our little industry in a bit of a tailspin, but you know, I guess the bigger story is this. I hate to say this off season because you didn't have an off season. But you headed over to the Dakar Rally. We got to talk about that before we even talk about what happened in San Felipe, because you got to go to Dakar, race the biggest, baddest off-road race on the planet. I mean, tell me about that experience, because that had to just been life-changing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm still smiling ear to ear right now just thinking about it. It was such an experience. I'd like to say, it was an experience of a lifetime, but it sounds like we may be going back next year as well. So it's going to continue on for us. I'm super stoked for that for sure. But yeah, it was, Saudi Arabia was an amazing place. I was actually hesitant and a little bit apprehensive, going over there, especially as a female. You know, I've just heard some stories, and, I was absolutely thrilled to find out that they were so welcoming and very friendly over there. They would stop literally in the middle of the street to say welcome to our country and just greet us. It was great.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I know we've heard a lot about Saudi Arabia recently, and I know, you know, it truly feels like the Saudi Arabia now versus the Saudi Arabia, you know, say even 10, 20 years ago, is completely different. And everybody I've talked to that's gone over there is had the same apprehensions you've had, but they've come back saying, man, that was an amazing experience. These people are, you know, are so happy to have us there. And I feel like they're so happy to have kind of the doors open to their country and be able to, you know, really interact with the world like they haven't been able to in the past.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was in 2018 that they started allowing women to drive over there. And then I think it was around the same time that they started accepting tourist visas. So everything's changed within the last couple of years is all. And you can really tell that things are definitely turning around for them, and they're becoming more modernized for sure.
Yeah. Well, kind of compare things. I mean, obviously, Dakar didn't fully go the way that you wanted it to, but you still were able to take in the entire experience. I mean, compare that. I mean, because a lot of people here, you know, in the States, you know, the biggest thing that we can compare it to is the Baja 1000. And you know, really, it's a complete different animal. I mean, this is like doing 2 weeks worth of, say, Baja 500s or San Felipe 250s, you know, in a row. I mean, how was that? I mean, obviously, you kind of... You know, you kind of trained for this, but, you know, did you really know what to expect until you got in there? I mean, is there anything you can compare it to that you've done in the past?
It's really hard to compare it to anything other than, like you said, either a San Felipe 250 or even up to a 500, depending on the day. You're doing that on a daily basis for 12 days in a row because it's a total of 5,000 miles. So you're waking up every morning, early in the morning, and you have to drive to the location where you're going to start in the morning first off, which I wasn't expecting that. I thought you just wake up in the morning in the bivouac or the camp and you're just there at the starting line. But a lot of times we would have to drive for hours just to get to where we're going to start the race that day. And then the worst part, my least favorite part, I should say, is when you're done racing, which is usually at dark, you have to drive up to about 150 miles afterwards to camp where you're going to stay that night. So, and all you want to do at that point is just get a shower and food and just be done for the day. But nope, there's still more. So it was tough. It was definitely a test of everything, I would say, not just physical, but emotional. And, you know, there's just, it was never, I would say, easy. You know, I mean, there's always something to think about, something to prep for, something to do, you know, and it was really hard to catch a break, especially after, like you said, on day two is when I had my mishap and flew off of the backside of a dune that I never even saw, and neither did my co-driver, and did some damage to the car, and it took us all day and through the night to complete that day. And when we finished, we had less than 3 hours till we had to start the next day, which would be day three for us. So from that moment forward, it was tough. It was hard to catch back up on our sleep and everything else, you know, because of that for sure. But very grateful that they had the experience class in the years past. This was only the second year that they gave anyone that option. Normally, you would just be done with the rally. And if that happened on just the second day, I would have been absolutely devastated like others have been in the years past.
Yeah, well, you know, and I've talked to... You know, some Americans that have gone over there and raced, and I know Ryan Arciero has said this quite a bit, and he goes, Dakar is a different thing. He goes, you know, it's not like, you know, you're an amazing off-road racer just coming off a big win in Baja. And, you know, it's like Kristen Matlock decides she wants to go do a new off-road race here in the States that you've never done before. Like, you go in and you know, hey, I got a really good shot at winning this thing. And Ryan said Dakar is the weird thing where he goes, you've got to go, and he goes, you've got to get a year under your belt really just to experience and see how it operates and how it runs before you truly can be competitive. He goes, I don't know that there's anybody, you know, and obviously there's a few elite level talents in the unlimited car division and stuff like that that have gone in and been successful their first year. But he goes, it's really something that most off-road drivers need to go and experience and just take it all in and see how it runs and how it operates and what it takes to get to the finish before you can really the second year come in and go, hey, I got a real good shot at winning this thing.
Yes, I completely agree. Year one, you're lucky to just finish. And that's what we talked to a lot of teams that have been doing it for many years. And they said that it usually takes 3 and 4 years just to get a finish, you know. So with both, with Wayne finishing, he finished 12th and he was the top Polaris Razor driver to finish. I thought that was amazing. You know, I was very proud of him to do that. And then with me being able to finish the experience class too and still get all of the miles or kilometers over there, that was exciting as well. So just getting to that point and getting all of the experience and learning new knowledge that we need to take into the years to come, I think is just phenomenal. It was Polaris Razor's first year being over there too with an American team. And so we were all over there just kind of learning as we go. You know, we kind of rushed into it a little bit, so to say, just because I say that because most teams will start prepping a year in advance. So the second that they return from Dakar, they're planning and prepping for the next year, where we had kind of decided in the beginning of the year that it was something that we were interested in and didn't start really building cars till mid-year. So we accomplished the prep and building and shipping of all the parts and supplies that we would need, you know, all the logistics of it is huge. And being able to do that in a 6-month period of time versus the normal year's period of time was pretty impressive, really, for our team to be able to do so.
So coming off Dakar, obviously you guys get back stateside and, you know, I know you didn't do King of the Hammers this year. You guys were just kind of returning home, but, you know, looking forward, you know, we've got the San Felipe 250 that just happened. You guys show up there. I know Wayne's got something a little special in the back pocket maybe for later this year that we won't talk about. But Kristen comes in and, you ended up walking away with a victory, right out of the box. It's got to have you feeling pretty good. How was San Felipe this year? I know Mexico's had their own challenges, you know, in regards to pandemic and things, but seems like things are, you know, kind of starting to turn around down there as well.
Yeah, for sure. We only had a 2-race season last year as opposed to a 4-race series in score. So definitely we're missing. San Felipe was one of them that we weren't able to race because of COVID being the first race of the season. It was great to be back. The Baja 500 last year was in San Felipe though. So, they just made a 500-mile course down there, which was tough. Yeah. As you know, it's a whooped out rocky location down there. So, but this year was no different. We actually pre-ran all week long and it was one of the best courses that they've ever laid out until those trophy truck guys ran through there and just stirred up all of the rocks that were hidden underneath the soft sand. So I told him at the finish line that it felt like I was just dodging bullets all day long, you know, with those big rocks out there. But luckily I didn't get a single flat. I was able to do well at dodging them and made it all the way to the finish line without any issue other than I did have some clutch issues throughout the day. It was a kind of a reminder about tightening up the primary clutch bolt. I'm sure you've heard all about that and you know all about that yourself being a Razor driver. But yeah, we had it torqued to spec and then you're supposed to go out there and rerun it, you know, and retorque it. And we failed to do so. And therefore my primary clutch bolt came loose and that started about mile 60. And blew a couple belts, and then finally the primary itself crumbled on me and had to replace that. So, but yeah, we got back out there and we're still able to pull off a win. So I was very fortunate to not have anybody pass me with all the stops that we had to make along the way.
Yeah. Well, and
but that did take me out of the overall for sure.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think that, you know, that's one thing with you and I think we've all seen, you know what I mean? That what you've been able to accomplish down there in Baja and you're like Miss Consistency, you know what I mean? And you are so consistent where you have every other driver seems like there's these peaks and valleys and you know what I mean? And things like that. I feel like you're just so consistent, you know what I mean? And you're always, you know what I mean? You're always there at the finish. You're always, you know, in the hunt. And I think that's one of the things that I really find remarkable is where every other driver, they can get caught up in things. And like I said, there's these peaks and valleys. Like Kristen, you're just so like always there, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely, have our mechanic, Daniel Felix, that works full time for us, just prepping both of our vehicles throughout the year. Definitely have to thank him for that, because without a well-prepped vehicle, then you're just not even going to make it to the finish line. And then, I would just say, just keep moving. You know, that's key. You've got to get to the finish line in order to land on the podium. So I always just make sure that I pace myself in the very beginning of the race and not push too hard to where we're going to break the vehicle. Because like I've said in the past, you know, for me, coming from quad racing, it's no longer a matter of my body. You know, like my body could take everything that is thrown at it in the Polaris Razor. It's the car now that I have to watch out for and make sure that I don't push its limits too much. So I think just having a well-prepped car and not making any mistakes throughout the race will always end up landing you on the podium. I just read the UTV Underground article, and they had said that in the last 7 races, I actually won 4 of them, and I didn't even know that. And I lose track sometimes, so that was pretty cool to read that.
That's a good thing when you've won so much, you lose track. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they kind of all blend, after some time. But yeah, of course, there's memories from each and every one of them that I would never give up, for sure. But we're having so much fun down there in Baja. Can't wait for the next one. We're already planning it.
Yeah, and speaking of, what's the schedule look like for the rest of this year for you guys? Obviously, the Score Series, I know Baja 500 up next, but past that, you guys going to be bouncing up stateside at all this year?
Yeah, well, actually, our very next one is the Sonora Rally. We're going to do that one for training for Dakar, actually. So we haven't done that one, and it's a 5-day rally race, and it's pretty much identical to Dakar as far as how you navigate and everything involved with that. So I'm looking forward to that. That's just in a couple of weeks now. And then we'll have the Baja 500 as well as the rest of the Score Series. We are going to try to make it to UTV World Championships this year.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Kristen, but we're short on time, and we'll be back after this on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending 5 straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of 5 bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing. So why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razors. We wrap up hour number one, moving to hour number two with our good friend Levi LaValle. I want to tell you about one of the amazing partners in our show today, our good friends at Manscaped. And you know what? After you use these life-changing products, you're going to want to join a beauty contest. I'm looking at you listening right now because I have an exclusive 20% off discount using the code JimBeaver at Manscaped.com. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full body grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 kit. Comes with the essential lawnmower that's waterproof, and it's a cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. This is the best trimmer to help you trim the hedges. The trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. When you trim the hedges, the tree stands a bit taller. Yes, inside the perfect package, you'll also find Manscaped Crop Preserver. It's a deodorant made exclusively for downstairs to make things smelling majestic. before your next Tinder date. You'll also find the Crop Reviver. It's a spray-on toner that's designed to make downstairs smell irresistible, and add in the refined cologne to your arsenal and you are on point. With the perfect package or the performance package purchase, you get two free gifts, a travel bag, as well as the high-performance reducing Manscaped boxers. Yes, 20% off plus free shipping using the code JimBeaver at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor. Always use the right tools for your experience. Get 20% off and free shipping using the code JimBeaver at manscaped.com. More after this on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show with Polaris Razor.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
And we're back here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, kicking off hour number two. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that hour number one. Kristen Matlock, Dean Wilson, Chase Sexton, locked, loaded, massive, I mean massive, hour number one, and it's even bigger, hour number two, with the legend Levi LaValle on the show. Don't forget, last hour and this hour being brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped. Don't forget, get 20% off and free shipping with the code JimBeaver at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using that coupon code JimBeaver. And with that, yes, it is hour number two, and you know, we got a big interview with Levi LaValle coming up. Do want to mention, though, we got some massive, massive storylines heading into Supercross this weekend. Back-to-back Supercross races in Salt Lake City over this weekend and next weekend. I wish I would be able to get out to them, but I've got the Best in the Desert Silver State 300 coming at me, as well as the Legacy Baja Nevada race. I'm racing on almost back-to-back weekends, so I got a lot in store for my racing program. Also want to mention, man, IndyCar now. Man, you want to talk about in full swing? They were in, you know, they were in Alabama. Now they're moving on to St. Petersburg, which I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Then they move on to, you know, what? They got a massive lineup of races. I mean, we got Indianapolis, the month of May coming at us. IndyCar in full swing. We got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, NHRA is back in action as well. You know, Four Wides in Las Vegas wrapping up. I mean, it's a big, big deal for everybody. You know, in motorsports, I am stoked, man. This whole pandemic last year and everything that got derailed, it's in full swing again now. And, you know, masks are coming off and everybody is out enjoying life, having a good time the way it should be. So, yes, I am excited about motorsports and everything that's upon us. I mean, you know, we haven't even talked about Score San Felipe 250. Probably not going to have time for that, but Bryce Menzies wrapping up the overall victory down there. Full, you know, massive Polaris weekend. I mean, Mike Caffro winning, Kristen Matlock winning, Brandon Schuler winning, Bryce Menzies winning. I mean, Polaris athletes and influencers 4 for 4 in those classes. Massive weekend for Polaris. And, you know, props to Score for pulling off San Felipe when a lot of people thought it may get scrapped. So, yes, lots of good stuff to come. But like I said before, 3 full segments and a whole hour of the legend and the world record holder, Levi LaValle, coming up next here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending 5 straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of 5 bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Looking to have some fun on 4 wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Well, I'd like to welcome one of my guests to the show. We're not going to call the show yet because I'm sure this is going to air on both of our shows, but my good buddy, Levi LaValle. Levi, it's been a while since we had you on air. I think last time we actually really caught up, I was actually doing some snowmobiling with you up there in Minnesota about a year or so ago. So, man, welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, excited to be back.
Yeah. Well, I would say, I don't know, normally I know you're pretty busy. Right now you're pretty busy, but it's not necessarily doing what you want to do. You're working on a driveway, man. The glorious stuff that that people don't realize. Levi LaValle always. This kind of reminds me of the street bike Tommy thing. And he goes, man. He goes, I don't ever want to go back to doing drywall. You know what I mean? So I feel like this like shows you, hey, I still got to continue to hustle because I don't want to actually get a real job, right?
What's funny is you know, I think it's pretty neat what my
my partner in the race team, Glenn. He said, hey, you want to come down to my place in Lake of the Ozarks and you guys can have like a vacation? I said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So he gets a private jet to fly us down there. And I'm like, this is going to be an all-time trip. We no more than stepped off the plane. And it was, get your work boots on. Let's get to work on that driveway. And I'm like, well, that's not quite the vacation I thought it was going to be. So we've been working on it here for the last 4 days. This is our fourth day. And we're almost done. So I think we might have the rest of the week to vacation. So yeah. Not quite what we were thinking, but still a good time.
Yeah, well, the thing I laugh about is, you know, I was messaging with you and your wife and we were getting this all set up and, you know, found out you guys are going to be on vacation. I feel guilty because I know guys like you and me, like we rarely ever get a vacation. The last thing you want to do is go and do like an interview during your vacation. But now knowing what you're actually doing, like I don't feel guilty. I feel like I might be rescuing you to an extent.
Hey, you literally are. Like, I've been mixing epoxy is what my job has been. And I said, hey, I got to do this podcast. I got to do this interview. So I'll be back after a bit. So I'm getting a little breather while everyone else is out there getting after it. So, so it's all right. I appreciate you taking up my time today.
That's funny. Well, I mean, I guess we should, we can go back to talking about everything you've been doing. I know, obviously, let's go back to the beginning of the race season. You guys had a pretty damn good year. I know you guys have kind of been transitioning the past couple of years and had some struggles, but man, you guys were pretty on point this year, Levi.
Yeah, this year went amazing for Team LaValle. You know, we had Adam Peterson, who was a pro light rider last year, blew his knee out in the first race. So he missed the entire season. And Riley Bester was first, you know, new to the Polaris and new to Team LaValle and whatnot. So it took a little bit for him to get up to speed. And then, you know, Kyle Pauline, who's been our longtime pro, you know, he was coming off of injury and stuff as well. So it was kind of a building year, or just a learning year last year. And this year, Polaris, they came out with the new fuel-injected race sled, and it was on point. And the boys, I mean, the riders, they did so good. They just came out swinging. Adam Peterson came out, won the first race after injury, and continued on throughout the year just on this war path, and eventually won the Pro Light Championship. Riley got his first win on the Polaris and on Team LaValle, and Kyle Pauline, you know, longtime pro, been with us since 2013. He got his second career win this year. So his last one was in 2015. So it's been a long time coming, but man, he was riding so good this year and really, really clicking, really working with the sled. And it was awesome to see. And then after season, you know, they did an award banquet, a virtual award banquet, and we ended up getting Team of the Year, and Kyle got fan favorite. And I mean, it was just a phenomenal season for the team.
Yeah, that's got to get you feeling good, because I know you guys, you know, you guys are always, you know, one of the favorites and things like that. But, you know, you've had some struggles the last couple of years, and I know, you know, for whatever reason, but I feel like this season was the one you guys have been wanting for a while, man.
Oh, it sure was. It, you know, one of the biggest things is the new Polaris engine that they came out with was just so strong. And it really made the difference, because we were getting good hole shots. You know, the first couple races, we were still learning what we could do with the engine. And then by mid-season, things really started clicking. We started getting good hole shots. And, you know, getting a good hole shot really, really makes it a lot easier on the riders. And it was fun to see. And you know, the other guys they did such a good job on their suspension, getting everything to work so well. So it really was a season that we were looking for and we were hoping for. And I've told people, I said, seasons like this one are the reason you go racing, because it's just, everyone was having so much fun and everyone was working together so well. You know, those are the memories, the things that I'll remember for the rest of my life, just how cool this season was.
You know, and I think that's actually a good point, you know, and you've been around this business for, you know, for pretty much your entire life. But I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, to be a top level race team, you know, even on the, you know, even, you know, years where you think you're going to have a great year, like, it's so hard to be one of the top teams and to be at that level every single year, because everybody else continues to elevate their game and you're continuing to elevate. But for whatever reason, sometimes you have a season where things just don't fall your way and things don't work out, and there's nothing you did. It's not like another team outspent you or outprepped you. It's just there's a lot of luck that goes into racing, and it seems like, you know, once things kind of start clicking and you get that momentum going, you know what I mean, you guys have a season like you did this year, and that, like you said, that's what keeps you going, because we've seen, you know, it's not just in snowmobile racing, it's every other kind of motorsport. I mean, you got some of the best, most elite athletes in the world, and sometimes they just have an off year and there's no reason for it. It's just an off year. And like you said, I mean, I'm excited for you guys, because I feel like that re-energizes you and you guys are even more pumped for the 2022 season when that rolls around, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so fun when you have a good season like that. Cause, I mean, everyone, literally all the riders on our team this year won races in Pro Light, in Pro. And then we help out Andy Leaders, who's Pro Vet. He was winning all season long. So, I mean, it was awesome to see. And, you know, it's incredible how well everybody gets along when you're winning. But on the flip side, you know, we've had these last couple of years have been less than ideal. And, you know, that's what's cool, is it's been pretty much the same group of people. And, you know, it's just keeping your head down, continuing to work, continuing to put in the time. Through that struggle, and you know, this is the reward, is when you have a season like this. So it's really fun to see that, and it's fun for everyone to experience that, just knowing that, hey, just, you know, stick to the plan, stick to the grind, and better times will come. And sure enough, they came this year.
Yeah. Well, and you and I, we've been friends for a long time, and I know you and I have talked, like, you know, candidly and stuff like that, and you've, you know, had some plans, you know what I mean? You staying involved in snowmobiling for, you know, in various capacities, and looking at your career and how you can kind of stretch things out and not necessarily be on the sled all the time and things like that. But here's a kind of a personal question. I mean, last couple of years you transitioned out of racing, and I think you felt like it was just time, and I know part of you was kind of burnt out, especially I don't think people realize the amount of training, the amount of laps you have to burn to be an elite level snowcross racer. But how is the transition to team ownership? I mean, are you seeing Kyle Poline win this year, you know, at the pro level? I mean, are you just as justified and just as stoked, you know what I mean, you know, being a team owner and winning, as you were, you know, being, you know behind the bars and winning races that way?
It's really fun to see it on this side of the fence, you know, knowing the work that goes into it and the time that they put into being one of the most elite snowcross racers out there. You know, I did it for so many years and, you know, the struggle they're going through, and not even the physical struggle, but even the mental side of it. You know, Kyle, he fractured a vertebrae in his neck a few years ago. Right. And just to have that thought in your head, like, holy cow, that was a close one, and to be able to come back and be able to ride at, you know, the top level and to be able to win is it takes a lot. And that's the thing, is, you know, all the lessons you learn through racing, they translate to life in general. I mean, there's so many lessons that you can learn in it, and that's what I'm grateful for, is being able to go through all that and now seeing these other riders going through it, and you want to help them. So I try to do my best to help them, but at the same time, sometimes you need to let them learn the hard way, because that's the way that you know, that's how you will remember it. Sometimes if somebody just keeps feeding you the answers, you just go, yeah, whatever. It's like, well, when you learn it the hard way, you always remember it. And it's been fun to see Kyle. You know, he's a veteran now in snowcross. I think he just turned 30. And the fun thing is to see him mentoring Adam Peterson and Riley, our younger pro light riders. It reminds me a lot of when I was in Kyle's shoes, and Kyle was just starting out in the pro class. So it's really fun to see that. And yes, I mean, it is just as rewarding to see the riders go out and have success as when I was out there doing it.
And we've got a whole lot more to come here with Levi LaValle when we return to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing. So why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver and Levi LaValle here. Well, and I know, you know, this has kind of opened itself. I know last time, what was it? Was it last winter before last when I was up there and we went sledding? You were working on some stuff for your YouTube channel. I think at the time you were working on the ramp, you know, on the truck jump. And I saw you just dropped your new video, and that was kind of integrated into there. But, I mean, does it kind of – do you still now get your fulfillment out of doing, like, these videos that you just drop with Red Bull and things like that? I mean, which has got amazing stuff. You get to put your creative mind into things, and you still get to ride at an elite level. It's just in a different capacity.
I do enjoy the projects. I do enjoy the creative different things that we come up with. And, you know, that's what's – that's something that I think I will always enjoy, is just being able to like come up with these concepts and come up with different things. The thing that, you know, eventually is going to happen is I won't be able to physically do the jumps and stuff. So I need to find, I'm just throwing it out there on your podcast saying, if anyone wants to become the next Levi jumper guy, I'll certainly show you how to do it. And I've got all kinds of ideas. I just don't think I have enough physical strength to do it before I'm able to. So, but no, it's really fun. The new project we did, we called it Project Portside is what we called it, but essentially it was set on in Duluth, Minnesota, right along Lake Superior there. And it was such a incredible experience to be able to go there and literally just turn Duluth into the snowmobile playground. And I've said that with St. Paul as well. I mean, it's literally, you just drive around. Like when we were scouting, it's like, hey, what do you think would be cool? And they're like, well, here's a couple of areas. And then I would go and check those and I'd be like, yeah, I think I could backflip that. I think I could ride this. I could jump that. And I mean, it was so much fun doing that. In fact, when there's one part of the video where I backflip over a train that follows the shore of Lake Superior. And we were actually there to look at the staircase next to the train. We walked down to the boardwalk down by the lake, and I looked up and I said, well, gosh, I think I can jump over that wall. And I could probably backflip it. And the guy, Eric from Red Bull that I was with, he's like, looked at it. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, I think I could. So it's just fun because you can let your imagination run wild when you're over there. And you know, that video is exactly my imagination running wild, which is really fun.
It's kind of been kind of cool with you because, you know, you were able to do the one video in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and now you've been able to do the one in Duluth. So these places that you've seen and you've been around your entire life, like now actually going and having free reign over them, at least for a couple of days during filming, like that's got to have been pretty kind of cool because you're like me. You always walk around, and I think people that have been in action sports and done things like this, we see the world differently. We see a set of stairs, or we see ledges, or we see ramps. And I think we see things that other people don't do. And you're probably like me. You've seen I do that with my UTV. I used to do it on a BMX bike. I'd see something and I want to go try it. Now with the UTV, it's like I see these natural features and I'm like, I could do this. And I think you've probably the last, 20 years walked around these places and seen things and always had in the back of your mind, I'd love to be able to go and do that someday. Now you've had the opportunity a couple times to do it. That's got to have been pretty cool.
It's a dream come true. I mean, Duluth, that's what was really fun about Duluth is I've been racing in Duluth at Spirit Mountain at the ski hill I think my first race there was 97. So, I've been going there forever and ever. And we've always raced at the ski hill every Thanksgiving weekend since I was 14 years old. And I would always be looking at the ski hill. Like, first off, wouldn't it be awesome just to rip around a ski hill, on your snowmobile? And we only had just this little oval that we'd be able to race on right there. And there was so much terrain all around it, but we just got to race on this, which was awesome. But I always thought, like, wouldn't it be fun to go rip around all the other runs on the hill? So that was like the first thought. And then because we always race in there, we've gone through Duluth so many times. And there's Lake Avenue, driving up it in a car is like so crazy. I remember the first time I drove up it, it's just a steep, steep paved road. And then it flattens out for the intersection and then up. And it does these stairs all the way down. And I just remember driving up the first time going, I could jump up this. There's some sort of jump here we have to do. And, we were fortunate enough to be able to do it in this video. And we just propped up a ramp and kind of was able to jump all the way over the intersection where the cross street went. And it was really a neat experience to be able to do that, which it was awesome being able to jump down it. The thing that wasn't awesome was landing on asphalt from about 30 feet up.
Well, that was what
pretty
I was
firm landing, to say the least.
That was what it going to be one of my questions, dude. I mean, that's like, even with hard packed snow, there's a give, and I've had a sled on asphalt, a few times, just, mainly it's transitioning from one trail to another, things like that. Like, it's not really pleasant to have a sled on asphalt. And to just be dropping out of the sky like you did, like, that's one, abusive on the body, but that's really abusive on the sled, man. That hadn't been a very pleasant feeling.
Oh, it was so brutal. I've tell people, because I've had enough really hard landings, that there's a really key sign of a hard landing is when the front end bounces off the ground. When it hits and it slaps and the skis come off, that's when you know it's a hard landing. And that asphalt one, you can see, and I don't know if you can see it in the video, but you can literally, the skis come back off the ground from bottoming out so hard. And it's incredible that the machine stays together. I mean, I've been doing them types of landings for years, and I slapped down, turned around, went to the top and went and hit the jumps again. And it's like, it's incredible to me that the machine that I'm on, that Polaris race sled, can take that kind of abuse. I can't imagine what it would do to any other kind of machine. I would imagine it would just blow the skis right off or something.
And that's what's, and I've been a part of a couple of smaller film projects we've done with, me and Razors and things like that. And, a lot of these turns and stuff like that, you're doing 5, 6, 7 takes just because you want to get it just right. But things like that, you almost have to nail, because, I don't know how many times you did that, but that's not something you want to do 5 takes on. That's like, you really just want to do one. And if you got to do 2, it's like, oh, let's please get this right the second time, because I definitely don't want to do it a third,
Yeah, absolutely. There are a few different ones where it was a one and done is what we call it. And I jumped over the train. I straight aired over the train once. And then I flipped it once and I said, well, because the landing was pretty firm on that one as well. And, and that's the part I didn't get to was, I actually had a crash on the barges. I overshot, I jumped off of the bridge onto the first barge, and then I hit this second ramp and jump onto the second barge. And originally I had been practicing that jump was 110 feet is what it was supposed to be. And when we got there, the gap was only 95. And the issue was is trying to get the barges to stay in place and everything with the current and whatnot. So the barges ended up being 95 feet apart. And I said, well, I'll figure it out. So I go and I hit the jump. I ended up overshooting it. And I ended up going, you know, where the 110 landing would have been, I probably went about 130. So I would have been good at a 110 foot gap. But with the 95 footer, I landed perfectly flat. And what happened was I had a carbureted sled. I had a couple year old race sled that I was using. And the thumb throttle, the cable to the thumb throttle unhooked from the throttle. And I didn't have any throttle. And typically what we do is we'll silicone that in case you have a hard landing like that, because we've had that happen in snowcross. And what happens is the slide actually in the carb, it bounces from the hard landing and it pushes the cable out and literally unhooks it. So I land and then I line up. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for the next jump. And the thing, I had no throttle. So I had to abort. I hit the skids, threw it sideways, and then, you know, kind of tried to jump off the sled in hopes to stay on the barge. But by that time, I was already up to the ramp. So I jumped off, and I literally, like, bounced off of the ramp and fell 12 feet down to the broken ice below. And in the process, I broke my ribs and got a hip pointer and sprained my wrist. And this was on the third day of eight filming. So, you know, back to when I was doing the train flip, you know, the one and done, I literally was so beat up from, you know, the broken ribs and the hip pointer and everything. It kind of made a lot of the second half of our shoot more one and done's, just to kind of get me through it.
And we've got a whole lot more with this interview when we return right here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, Levi LaValle here. Levi, we're talking about the barge sequence. And honestly, I was looking, you know, when I watched the barge sequence at the end, you know, that was kind of like the capstone to the whole thing where you're jumping between them. And I went, like, there's so much that's got to go right in there with the timing and the barges and the moving water. Like, it's funny to hear you talk through this thing because I'm watching it going, like, I mean, I'm no expert, but I'm looking at this going, there's so much going on here. You know what I mean? To make that sequence happen, like, that had to have been difficult. The staging of it, the jumping of it, you know, everything in movement. And man, like, I don't know, Levi, that was probably, you know, I can't say that's the biggest trick I've ever seen you do, but the technical difficulty of making that all happen, man, that was up there with some of the probably the craziest stuff you've ever done.
It was really a setup that was so scary because you're trying to keep these barges. With the barges, are they're so heavy, right? So they don't move around a lot, but unfortunately there's like heavy current right there under the bridge. And the barges, they have, like, they call them spuds. just big pipes essentially that are on the side of them that they drive down into the ground to keep them from moving. But it was 40 feet of water. So these things are like super long. Well, 40 foot long with the current, it pushes them over. So it was really hard for the barge company to get them all lined up straight and going the same way. And we had all these wood ramps on there. And like, that's the one thing with like the wood ramp is it's harder to like if they're not perfectly straight, it's hard to jump like a different direction. So it's kind of like if on a snowmobile, you kind of follow whatever the ground is, whatever the flat is. So if the flat is like angling to the left, it's going to pull you to the left. Where if it's snow, I can just like diagonal up it kind of like you would on a dirt bike. Well, one of the issues we had was on that ramp that I overshot. I literally overshot it and I flew hard left and I landed like 4 feet from a steel wall on the barge and overshot it. So, I mean, there were so many things that could go wrong in that whole shoot or in that just one setup that I was just grateful that we eventually made it all the way across and I didn't end up getting hurt any worse than I did.
Yeah, that's one of those where you're just thankful that when you finally get it completely done, you're like, all right, good, on to the next thing. Like, I think it's funny because any shoot, there's got to be that one thing that you're really like, you're going to do it because you know you need to do it, but you're not looking forward to it and you're kind of going to be happy when it's over with, you know? And I think like sometimes people think that we enjoy everything we do and it's like, yeah, 99% of the time we do, but there's always that one where you're like, yeah, I'm not really looking forward to doing this, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah, that one I wasn't looking forward to. The bummer is we had a really nice practice set up at my shop and I'd hit it over and over and whatnot. It was really good. Actually, you'll probably see it next Christmas when we send our Christmas cards out, like, cause we had the kids and my wife and everyone underneath and I was jumping over them and stuff. But anyway, so I was having fun doing that. So I kind of like went into it like, oh, this won't be that big of a deal. And then when I got there, you know, it gets real, really quick when you see, you know, an 8 foot tall steel vertical wall of barge sticking out of the water. And you're like, where's the backside of that landing? You know, when that stuff starts coming, you go, this is pretty spooky. And, you know, that was probably part of the reason why I overshot that jump as well, was because it's like, I mean, it looked pretty scary. And, you know, that was one where, you know, they were asking me to like, do you think you'll hit it more than once? And I'm like, nope, this is a one done. And unfortunately, you know, I did it the one jump and then ended up in the lake and, you know, the Coast Guard had to come pull me out and all that stuff. But it was pretty wild ride. But the thing that's cool is they've got a behind the scenes video that's coming out here, I think within the next week or two. And it shows, it'll show the crash when I jump, when I fall into the water and when I break my ribs and, you know, my sled sunk and all these other things. So it'll be a really cool video to kind of show everyone what actually went wrong.
Yeah. Here's a question. Like, when you do like these filmings and these projects, and I know obviously Kristen's highly involved in your career, but the family, are they there when you're doing this? I know your dad comes to a lot of stuff too, or are they away? So like something like that happens, does the family know it happened or is it one of those after you're safe, you call and be like, yeah, I had an accident, but I'm good. Or are they actually there watching this happen?
So mom and dad came, I think they came 2 days after that, but they found out, they actually found out the worst way. They found out on social media.
Oh,
my mom, somebody reached out to her on Facebook or something, because, you know, we're shooting all this stuff right in Duluth, right? So it's like on a Monday I'm out there jumping these barges, And there's literally on the, we were jumping from Minnesota to Wisconsin across these barges. And there is a gentleman on the other side, on the Wisconsin side, videoing. And he sends me the video on Instagram. He's like, "Oh man, I saw you had a rough day." And I'm like, I'm at the VRBO at the house we're staying at, you know, and the doctor's working on my ribs and trying to get me loosened up and whatnot. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So anyway, my mom found out about it that way. And you know, then we called her and she's like, "Oh my goodness, are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." But Kristen, she came with the kids. And usually when we're doing, you know, any of those kind of scarier ones, like the barge ones, the higher risk ones, a lot of times they'll go off and do something else.
Yeah.
And, while I do that jump, just so it's not messing with my focus or anything like that. But a lot of the ones that are a little bit more routine features and jumps and stuff, they'll come and join us at the shoot and get to see it all.
Awesome. Here's a question, man. Backflips. So I talk with, like, you know, this is a couple of years ago and things like that. I was talking with Jolene and things like that. How often, I mean, you've got your compound there, but, like, you know, you backflip and you do it with such ease. And it just, how often do you actually backflip? I mean, I know it's something where you don't ever really forget how to do it, but it's not like you're backflipping on a weekly basis, right? Or are you? I mean, do you just fire them off here and there? Is that something like a couple times a year you pull out the backflip and do it?
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. You, like, literally, prior to flipping for, yeah, I had that train flip is what I had set up. So I had that big step up, which it's like a super easy ramp to flip because it's so steep. So like I literally pulled that ramp out, set it up. I did a couple straight airs just to get my speed right, just so I didn't overshoot it. And then you go and flip it. And my timing was maybe slightly off, but within a couple flips, it's like, yep, this is what it is, right? You get it down pretty quick. But in the old days, I used to, like, really go at it. I actually went very slow approach to it. I would set up the ramp and flip into the foam pit, and then I would bring it out to the snow, and then I would do a little warm-up, and then I would flip it to snow. And now it's like I have both my mini flip ramp, and if I have that double flip ramp, the big steep ramp set up, they're, I don't want to say they're easy to flip. Like, the mini flip ramp is actually kind of technical just because everything happens so quick off of it. You can really mess up bad. But I kind of practice just standing on it, and then I go in and flip it. So for the most part, I would feel pretty confident. Like, if I had to just at any point in the year, just say, okay, hey, you have to go flip this right now, first try, I'd be like, okay, like, you could do it.
Yeah, but it's not something you're just firing out on a weekly basis when you're on your sled or anything like that anymore. You're just like, yeah, over it. We'll do them when we have to, type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's doing like that. I mean, and they're still fun. Like,
yeah.
I had an idea for a while. I thought about, like, I wanted to see how many years I could backflip a snowmobile, like, into my, you know, I just thought, well, I wonder if I could do it till I was 50. I wonder if I could do it, you know, like that. But I think I got to get a better setup that's, like, very easy on the body, because right now the mini flip is, like, it's a really hard landing. It's really flat. So I need to have a better landing than that before I sign up for the annual snowmobile flip into my 50s.
So I guess that being said, man, it's almost, it's almost springtime. Snow's starting to melt up there. I guess it is springtime, almost summer. You're about ready to pull the boat out. I would say probably, by the end of May, right? Get it on the lake.
Yeah. I just talked to them and they said that, they said the boat's in and they're just getting it prepped, ready to go. And we're down here at Lake of the Ozarks right now. And my dock guy just put the dock in. I just got a picture of that. So I'll get back and get the boat in and hopefully be able to get out on the water for a little bit. But I'm really excited to go ride my dirt bike for whatever reason. I I rode a bit last year in the fall with my brother-in-law, Joe, and it was really fun because I'm at the point now on dirt bikes where I've like come to the conclusion that I'm not the best dirt biker, and I don't feel like I have to prove anything to anyone anymore. So I just am full vet class rider. I just go out there and I just rip around on the, and I usually am one of the first ones out there on the track when it's nice and smooth. And then I'm usually done before, and the practice track, I'm usually done before it gets rough. Right. So I'm full vet class rider, and it's really fun because, you know, just my brother-in-law, Joe, he was a mechanic for Suzuki ATV racing back in the day and was a mechanic for our race team for quite a few years. And it's just fun because he's keeping me, he just gets me so jacked up to ride dirt bike. And it's really fun. So hopefully we were talking about even going down to that. There's a track that Chad Reed's been working on or working with down in North Carolina. So we talked about maybe road tripping down there and checking out that track and whatnot. So yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. So I want to go back to something you said earlier, and you said it jokingly, but I kind of started laughing at it. And I've been thinking about it since you said it, and you were talking about, you know, all the stunts and you know, if you got somebody that wants to carry the torch for you. And I started laughing because I know, you know, Travis is a good friend of both of ours, Pastrana, and, you know, he's still like you. He's still very much riding and doing things. But, you know, even like with the triple, you know, at some point I had Trav on the show, and Trav goes, look, man, he goes, I knew it was time for somebody to carry the torch. I couldn't do it. I just knew I could not do that, and it was time to hand it off. So then it was like, put all our focus on Sheeny and helping Sheeny do this, you know. And I you kind of mentioned something, and I started laughing in my mind, but it's almost like, you know, part of you is like, yeah, I can still do this at a high level, but if somebody kind of steps up and I see that they can carry the torch, like, I've got no problem helping somebody else achieve all this stuff in the future.
I mean, I would imagine Travis has the same thoughts as me. I mean, I've been fortunate to be able to do a lot of really neat things and had a lot of help doing all these things. And you come to understand what it takes to do a distance jump, to do a backflip, whatever it may be. And then as you go on, you see all these athletes that are doing these crazy things in motocross and UTV and all these other avenues. And for me, that's where you pull a lot of inspiration. You see that stuff and then the creative juices start flowing. And I just know that I'll forever, like you said, look at the world different than most. And they just go, hey, you could downslope that. You could jump from there. You could, if you set a ramp there, you could do this. And I think it would just be, you know, I don't want to say like, hey, you should go do this. It's just like, it would just be fun to filter ideas to somebody that has that same mindset.
And if you want this entire interview with Levi LaValle, head over to my podcast, Project Action. It's uncut, unedited, right there for you guys. But with that, we're going to be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. It's All She Wrote this week. Man, thank you guys for the continued support of the show. Head over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us. Once again, that Levi Lavalle interview is uncut over there on Project Action. Subscribe to that on Podcast One. I am at JimBeaver15 on social media. Big shout out to all of our amazing partners in the show: Gentle Tire, Polaris Razor, Vision Wheel, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish. Coupon code over at Dirtfish is JimBeaver15. Optimus, our good friends at iRacing, PR-JimBeaver will get you 50% off there. We've got our good friends at Manscaped. Yes, coupon code JimBeaver for 20% off and free shipping. We've also got our, Fistful of Bourbon, our great whiskey partners there, GSP XTV Axles. We got a lot of supporters in the show. Thanks to all of them for continuing to get us on the air each and every week. Like I said before, next week, big week for me. I've got Best of the Desert Race I'm racing in, and got a whole lot of stuff going on, a lot of content. Two races, 2 weeks for us. It's going to be massive. But I will be live tweeting during a lot of the racing this weekend, so check me out on Twitter, at JimBeaver15. Let's carry on the conversation over there. And have a great weekend, guys, and we'll see you next time right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hit me up with your questions. I want to answer them on the show. And, I guess that's me officially signing off for this week. See you next time.